Jesus began his ministry, his preaching ministry, with 8 Beatitudes. That is, blessed, happy are such and such. And he ends his preaching ministry with 8 woes. That is, woe or misery upon you, the Pharisees. What was wrong with the Pharisees that Jesus would end his preaching ministry by pronouncing 8 woes, 8 forms of misery upon this group of people? The name Pharisee means separatists, from their diligence to keep themselves from any legal contamination, and in so doing, separating themselves from the common people. Their history can be traced back to the time of Judas Maccabeus, who we talked a little bit about as I ended my series of sermons on the book of Daniel. After Alexander the Great died and his empire was divided up between his 4 generals, as you may remember, I talked about a Greek by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, who fought especially against the Jews. But Judas Maccabeus and his family and followers fought against Antiochus for religious freedom. And so from his efforts, not that he was a Pharisee, but eventually from his efforts and his followers, they formed the group known as the Pharisees, a religious sect that, as you come towards the first century A.D., they had increasing political powers, trying to preserve what they perceived as the true religion, but adding many things to God's law that they believed would help them to keep God's law. There is an incident recorded in Luke chapter 18, recorded or told us by the Lord himself, that illustrates well the mentality of the Pharisees. In Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 9, Luke tells us that Jesus gave a parable. And it just sets before the whole world what made a Pharisee, and at the same time, what made them so detestable to the Lord. Starting at verse 9, here's what Luke writes down. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Jesus comments, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. At the very end, Jesus gives this commentary and he really points out the problem. Self-exaltation. And at the very beginning, Luke also informs us why Jesus gave this parable, because of self-righteousness. The Pharisees were a group of people who were self-righteous, and they were involved in self-exaltation. Furthermore, why did Jesus condemn the Pharisees? Well, first of all, let me say this. Jesus never condemned the Pharisees for obedience to the law of Moses. Make sure you nail that down. Because the Pharisees convinced people back then that they were obedient to the law of Moses, and their deception is so effective that they have still convinced people that, despite the plain testimony of Scripture that I'll be giving you tonight. I'm going to give you some Scriptures with very little interpretation. Just let them speak for themselves. In fact, I'm going to give you a lot of Scripture tonight, more than I typically do in a sermon. And you'll see exactly what Jesus says about them. And yet, if you ask the average person what was wrong with the Pharisees, ask that of people in the church or out of the church, and they will say their problem was they tried to follow the law of Moses strictly. And that's not true. It is not true. That's not what their problem was at all. How could Jesus ever condemn the Pharisees for obedience to the law? Especially in light of statements from God Himself through the prophets that they had to be careful to follow the law. That was also revealed by Moses himself. You need to see to it that you be careful to follow everything that I've delivered to you, Moses said. Okay, so then a group of Pharisees come along and they do exactly that, and Jesus says, "You people are so wicked." No, that's not what happened at all. First of all, consider these three declarations from Jesus about the Pharisees. First of all, in Matthew chapter 15, they confront Jesus about his disciples. Your disciples aren't doing the right thing here. But watch how Jesus counters them. Matthew 15, starting at verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress not the law of Moses, but the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, again, now nail this passage down. Look at the verse. Jesus said, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God?" Now really, this is one of these sermons where I think I've already made my point and I can sit down and we can do the invitation and get to the potluck. You know, this makes it plain. Jesus said, "You're not keeping the commandment of God." How were they violated? He says, "Because of your tradition." Verse 4. "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and mother.' And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother." Breaking one of the Ten Commandments. Again, listen to Jesus. "Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." Now, the next two are from the Gospel according to John. In John chapter 5, he's already in quite a discussion with them. And you'll notice at first that it's not as... I don't want to give the impression that they never looked at the Scripture or never did anything that the Scripture says, because Jesus will point out that they did do something here that was good. But they came up short. And notice in what area they came up short. John 5, starting at verse 39. "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." Now listen to verse 40. "But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." Well, if they really believed the Scriptures, Jesus says, you'd be coming to me. They're speaking about me. It was in my class this morning where I gave you several passages from the New Testament that showed how the purpose of the Old Testament was all pointing to Jesus Christ. So something's wrong here. They're searching the Scriptures, but they're not going to Christ. Verse 41. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in my own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. Now again, listen to this. There is one who accuses you. Who is it? Moses. In whom you trust. Why would Moses, and what he means by that is the law of Moses, why is the law of Moses going to accuse them? Because they're not believing what Moses wrote, and they're not doing what Moses said to do. Now they're doing some things, of course, and they're believing some things, but they're not believing all the things that he said, and they're not doing all the things that he said to do. Verse 46, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? And then John chapter 7, verse 19. Listen to how plain and clear this one is. John 7, 19. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? None of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? Again, Scripture is clear. And even more than that, I will say, the author of Scripture, Jesus Christ, who knows the hearts of all men and knows their lives, whether they're doing what he wants them to do or not, he says, you're not keeping the law. Now let's go to Matthew 23. I began my message tonight by saying Jesus began his preaching ministry with 8 Beatitudes. You know, that's found in Matthew 5 with the famous Sermon on the Mount. And he ended his preaching ministry with what we find here in Matthew 23, where he pronounces 8 woes upon the Pharisees. And that will actually start at verse 13. But I want to start at verse 1 to show further what Jesus was saying about the Pharisees. Verses 1 through 3, they were hypocrites. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now sometimes they're going to open up the Scriptures and they're going to say, here's what the Scripture says and here's what you ought to be doing, therefore. And so Jesus will now say, verse 3, therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. When they're speaking from Moses, do it. Don't resist it because you don't like them, but do it because it's not really they who are saying it, but it's Moses. But, he adds, do not do according to their works, for they say and do not. They tell you what to do and what you ought to be doing, but don't follow their example because they're not doing it themselves. And so verse 4 just follows right along with it. They're lazy lawmakers. He says, for they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So again, we're going to tell you what you ought to do. We're going to put these burdens on you, but you couldn't depend upon them for any help whatsoever. In verses 5 through 12, Jesus now shows their problem in that they sought the glory of men. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So they knew how to make a good show. They knew how to make people think they were religious and righteous people. But Jesus knew what they were all about. Verse 13, they caused others to be lost. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Now, starting here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the Beatitudes in order and contrast them with each of the woes. You just heard the first woe. The first Beatitude now is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a contrast. The second woe, Matthew 23:14, their religion was meaningless. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Contrast that with this. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 23:16-19. They molded religion to their own liking with a misplaced emphasis, leading them to be spiritually unbalanced. Verses 16-19. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, that's what they would say, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Contrast that with this. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 23:20-22. They were not men of their word. Again, Jesus said, therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Contrast that with this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 23:23-24. They made mountains out of molehills and molehills out of mountains. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law: justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Contrast that with this. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matthew 23, verses 25 through 28. Their religion was limited to the external. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Contrast that with this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 23, verses 29 through 36. They were self-righteous, refusing to accept responsibility for their sins. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the righteous, or of the prophets, and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. How was that? Well, they were giving undue honor, undue emphasis to these prophets as though they were gods, which is what the prophets spoke against. And also, in their self-righteousness, they could not see how some of their own sins would lead them to persecute the ultimate prophet. So in other words, they had all the same attitudes, the same thoughts, the same feelings, words, and actions as their fathers. Verse 32, fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Contrast that with this. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And then finally there in Matthew 23, verses 37 through 39, they rejected grace and persecuted bold preachers God's word. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Contrast that with this. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now notice here that in all these passages I've given you, especially from Matthew 23, that Jesus never cast a bad light on the Pharisees for not obeying the law of Moses. In fact, he denounced them for not obeying it. He says, you have not been obeying it. Like when they would tithe the spices, but they wouldn't keep mercy and justice and love. The Pharisees, another major problem they had is that they looked for Jesus and the others to make a mistake. In Mark chapter 3, starting almost from the very beginning of his ministry, Mark says this, verse 2. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And now the next four, so are going to come from Luke. Luke chapter 6, verse 7. Luke comments, so the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. Luke 11, verse 53. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might accuse him. Luke 14, verse 1. Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. Luke 20, verse 20. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous, that they might seize on his words in order to deliver him to the power and the authority of the governor. And now I'd like to give you just five more passages that show that what the Pharisees were doing, revealed from the Old Testament, is typical of the wicked. The Old Testament, as I'm going to show you now, spoke about it. Jesus spoke about it, and it's still a problem. 1 Samuel 18, verse 9. Speaking about King Saul in his dealings with David. So Saul eyed David from that day forward. Psalm 37. Sounds like David knew what was going on. He writes in Psalm 37 and verse 32, the wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. Isaiah 29, verse 20, for the terrible one is brought to nothing, the scornful one is consumed, and all who watch for iniquity are cut off, who make a man an offender by a word, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and turn aside the just by empty words. Jeremiah 20, verse 10. For I heard many mocking, fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watch for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he can be induced, then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. And finally, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel 6 and verse 4, just after the Persians have taken over the Babylonian Empire, it says, so the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. I hope that I've presented enough information to you so that you will never say, well, what was wrong with the Pharisees? Well, they tried really hard to obey the law of Moses, because that's not true. They zeroed in on a few favorite and perhaps easy to follow commands from the law of Moses, but ignored the rest. The Pharisaical mind adheres to things that do not require a change of life. Now, there's certain points of doctrine from the Scripture that they would zero in on. You know, those things would be easy to remember. They don't necessarily have to change anything about themselves. And it would be a quick litmus test to see, well, is this person one of us or not? But God truly wants us to obey Him in everything, or He wouldn't have given us a command in the first place. I want to encourage everyone here tonight that from this day forward, that you give all the diligence that's in your soul to follow God's Word and to follow all of His Word. If you need our prayers or something along those lines, please come forward now as we stand and sing.